Hi, and welcome this day. So glad you have chosen to join us. How do you heal from a broken heart? Now that question, right? We experience heartbreak for a multitude of reasons. It can be because of a loss of a relationship. It can be because of grief. It can be because we don't like the situation we find ourselves facing. It can even be from our own actions and words. We experience heartbreak for numerous reasons. And so how do we get through it? How do we find healing? How do we do it in such a way that it allows us to thrive? Well, today we're going to get into a scripture where it is the apostles, the disciples, they have heartache. Their hearts have been broken because Jesus has been crucified. And what's interesting about this is they are experiencing all the things of grief. They have to deal with the fact that they denied, Peter had denied Jesus. They have to deal with the fact that, you know what? They scattered. They ran. When Jesus was arrested, they abandoned their best friend. And so they're having to deal with not only their own actions, but just the fact that they have lost Jesus. And now there are these reports. There are these reports that he's not dead, and they're like, we don't know what in the world is going on. So on top of everything, there's this extreme level of confusion. And so it's in this context that we get a sense of what healing looks like when there is heartbreak. When we are experiencing that pain, when we're trying to make sense of situations, when things are not the way we wanted it, the way we expected it. And so before we begin reading, let us pray. God, we give you thanks this day that you are forever with us, that your love is never, never taken from us. As we read through scripture, may we be inspired in how you are present. May we learn what it looks like to heal. May we learn what it is to be able to move forward, around, through, to live our lives with a healed heart. Help us, O God, to understand that this day. Amen. So beginning in John, the 20th chapter, verse 19. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." All right. So it's evening. The disciples, right? They're together, but they are behind closed doors. They have locked themselves away. They have withdrawn themselves. And sometimes we feel that way, right? When our heart breaks, we withdraw. We want to be away from. But to note that they do withdraw in their fear, because they are fearful of what could happen. They withdraw in their grief, but they still have a group around them. They still have these closest companions that they're in it with. And to think about that, of who is part of our inner circle, who surrounds us in those moments where we are experiencing that heartbreak, where we want to withdraw, where we want to escape from everything, where we just wish we could wake up from this nightmare. And it's here where, yes, they have locked themselves away for now, where they have withdrawn in fear, but they are together. They have one another in this moment. They are not alone. And in this moment of being together, of living this grief, this pain, this heartache, Jesus appears. Jesus appears, don't know how, he's just present with them in this room. And the first thing that Jesus says is, "Peace be with you." Take note of what he doesn't say. "Hey, you fools, you left me." He doesn't chastise them for going, "Why are you so scared? Get back out there." No, no. Instead, he comes in peace. He says, "Peace be with you." He doesn't tell Peter, "Hey, told you so. You were going to deny me. You did it. And the rest of you abandoned me." No. He actually goes in with, "Peace be with you." And for us, as we're thinking about that, of thinking about who we allow in our lives, who says, peace be with you, of how we allow God's presence to be with us. That is a presence of peace, of how we look for peace. We like the thought of looking for peace when we are experiencing heartache, when we are in distress, but we don't necessarily go searching for it or open ourselves to it. It's there. We may just not recognize it because it's not necessarily in the way we thought it should be, how we thought it should happen. And so here is that moment of being able to take that step back and go, all right, how is God's peace? How is God's peaceful presence with us right now with whatever distress, heartache we are experiencing, and to look for it, to take note of it, to search for it, instead of just focusing upon the things that we don't like, the things that are distressing, the things that we are fearful of, the things that hurt. It's a broadening of our perspective in that moment of asking, where is God's presence of peace? Continuing on in verse 20. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. All right. Christ is showing the disciples right here that this is real. That even though Jesus comes in a peaceful presence, God's peaceful presence, that there are still wounds, that it doesn't mean that there wasn't pain, that it is smoothing over, glossing over the pain of right now. But instead, it's like holding an intention of God. Yep, there are these wounds, there are these scars, and yet there is still peace. It's holding both of them at the same time. And to think about that, because so often we go to it's one or the other. But here Jesus is showing us, you know what, with God's presence, we recognize the pain. We don't make light of it. We don't just go, you know what, just get over it. No, no. It is a recognition of it. But at the same time, it's also going, but God still comes in peace. And so figuring out, all right, even though there is pain, even though there is heartache, there is still peace in the room, in this moment, because God's presence has not left. That even though we may feel that angst, we may feel that fear, to also at the same time be able to go, but God's peaceful presence is with us. Continuing on in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Right there, Jesus says for a second time, peace be with you. Because sometimes we need to be reminded more than once. In fact, maybe we need to be reminded more than twice. We need it like constantly. Peace be with you. And to almost make that a mantra that God keeps showing up even in our pain, even in our heartache of going, you know what? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And to begin to internalize that message of going, all right, if God is showing up, peace be with you. God is showing up for each of us, for all of us, of being able to go, all right, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to start looking for that. And then he says something else. He says, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. This is a moment where Jesus is like, we're not going to stay in this room. We are not going to stay withdrawn. We are not going to stay stuck in our fears. We are not going to stay stuck that the only thing we're experiencing is heartache, that the only thing we're experiencing is grief, that there is peace around us. And so I send you that sense of moving forward, moving around, right? Moving through, not staying in the exact same place. Doesn't mean there aren't wounds, doesn't mean there aren't scars, but that there is a way to get through this. There is a way to begin maneuvering and to live anew. The author, Elizabeth Gilbert, says, when you are standing in a forest of sorrows, you cannot imagine that you could ever find your way to a better place. But if someone can assure you that they themselves have stood in that same place and now have moved on, sometimes this will bring hope. Standing in that forest of sorrows, right? It's hard to know that there is something else. And here Jesus is going, yep, there is peace. God's peace is still with you, even in the midst of the sorrow. It's also a sense that what Jesus went through, we go through all of those things, that nothing that we go through is separated from Jesus, is separated from God. And so here it is, all right, this is where we are, but where are we headed next? And who's going with us? And that we recognize that there are others that have had these experiences, that we aren't alone in this. And how do we move forward through and around with God's presence? With God's presence of peace. Continuing on in verse 22. Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So here, Jesus is breathing on them. And we may think, well, I hope he doesn't have too bad a breath, right? But it's actually giving the presence of the Spirit. It's like a physical action of giving the presence of God to them. Like if they were like, I don't know about this. When Jesus breathes on them, this is a moment for us to go, what in the world is happening? Because this doesn't happen very often. It happens in the book of Genesis. It happens in the book of Ezekiel, where we find God breathes on humans and new life or renewal happens. And to think about that, Jesus is signifying here that sense of renewal, that sense of God's presence is with them, that it is in them, it is filling them, it surrounds them. And to think about how when we are experiencing heartache, when we're experiencing pain, how often do we just wish, man, I wish I could get a breath of fresh air. And in this moment, to realize how important it is to breathe. And that as we breathe in, take that breath right now with me. Take another one. Deep breath. That we can think through, that we can imagine as we breathe in, we are breathing in the presence of God. We are breathing in a presence of peace. We are breathing in renewal. We are breathing in possibility. We are breathing in that we do not have to stay stuck, that we can begin to maneuver. We can begin to go in different ways. We can make new decisions. We don't have to stay stuck in the fear, in the pain. And so here, to be able to practice that breathing in, and that every time we do it, we can think through how we are breathing in the presence of God that surrounds us, that is in us, and that helps us as we move through and around, as we deal with the obstacles, as we deal with the situations and the relationships that cause such heartache in our lives. When we're looking for healing, to be able to breathe in that presence of God. Continuing on in verse 23, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven. So right there, Jesus breathes God's presence, God's Spirit upon them and into them. And now he says to them, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven. They are now empowered to let go. They are empowered to let go of those things that they are holding on to that are such a burden, that are actually hurting other relationships, hurting their lives, keeping them in fear, that they are allowed to now let go of it, to release not just themselves, but others. The musician India Ari says, "For me, the healing process starts with graciousness and forgiveness." And to think about that, what Jesus has just done,
as God's presence is in them,
they are now able
to experience healing by letting go, by forgiving, by being that gracious presence which
Jesus showed up as.
Jesus extended through the peace. Jesus extends through God.
You know what? Everybody's forgiven. You all are forgiven. Let it go. Move forward. Move on. Move in a new direction that you don't have to stay
stuck in this
place. Grace.
Love.
Forgiveness.
The things that begin to heal us.
Begin to give us new perspective about how
can we go forward in our life, how we can go that next step, how we can begin
to navigate anew,
how our hearts begin to heal.
The author and professor, Leo Bascaglia, not very good with Italian here, says, let go. Why do you cling to pain?
There is nothing you can do about the wrongs of yesterday.
It is not
yours to judge.
Why hold on to the very thing which keeps you from hope and love? Let go. Why do you cling to pain? There is nothing you can do about the wrongs of yesterday. It is not yours to judge.
Why hold on to the very thing which keeps you from hope and love? As we extend that forgiveness, as we begin to extend that love, as we begin to allow that peace into our lives and extend that peace to others, as we begin to breathe in that Spirit of God and to be like, you know what?
If I'm breathing in the Spirit of God, then everyone around me, there is the possibility here.
And so we begin to move through life a little bit differently.
We begin to move through with those wounds, with those scars, but now they are healed. To think about how that letting go and how that forgiveness is such a vital part of our healing process. Even if maybe it wasn't because we were wrong, but just in general,
of that letting go, that forgiveness, that presence of healing from a broken heart. With the presence of God brings in purview to ourselves, we get that view of
peace,
of love, of forgiveness,
of mercy,
of grace,
kind of swirling all around us. And that it becomes ours
to not only receive, but we get to start giving it. So when we're wondering, how am I going to heal from this broken heart?
We have to ask ourselves, what are we breathing in? Are we breathing in the presence of God that is one of peace? Who are we surrounding ourselves with?
Who here can help with that sense of forgiveness
and letting go?
How do we allow that path?
How do we allow ourselves to go that path, not alone,
but with God and others?
How will we allow our broken hearts to be healed
this day? How will we be comforted by this story?
How will we be challenged?
How will we not only
be receiving it,
but how can we be that for someone else? This is our challenge
today. Amen.